I'm Shan Rose. This is Straight From Rose, your front row seat to government, community, and all the in-between tea. Served, informed, not messy. So when it hits your timeline, you say it loud with your chest. You heard it straight from Rose. Thank you for listening to the podcast last week. It is always a joy to hear feedback, and together we are learning more about government, leadership, and how our cities function. Today, I have the pleasure of having my aide, Dawn Wallace, on. And so I can say, like, I don't do this alone, and I don't do the work of serving in silo, and it's not, you know, one person show. And so Dawn will be part of the segment today to kind of talk through, you know, some of the good fun stuff and some of the tough, hard conversations we have to have. But before we do that, and before we kind of get into Dawn, I am going to uphold my commitment to answering a question from viewers. And one of the questions, because, you know, I talk a lot about city council meetings, someone reached out and said, what happens during a city council meeting? And, oh, is that a very interesting time? So, as mentioned, we have 10 different departments at the city of Orlando. And so each one does something different. And so whatever policies, procedures, funding, new equipment that is needed is kind of brought to city council and we vote on. We have a policy where there has to be a bidding process no matter what we're putting in. So, for example, I just posted recently about spotlights at the Kia Center. Like, we have to put that out for bid and people have to send in different ways and how much they're going to charge us to install that. So, like, those are some of the things that we vote on. So ultimately, each division kind of knows what they need. We do plans and we kind of say, you know, as we're building, we want a more walkable community. And I'll use that as an example and what that looks like. So we have city planners who kind of look at new communities that are being built. So when developers and property owners come and say, hey, I want to do this in our community, we vote on that. So ultimately, as we need different things in the city, different parts of the divisions and departments, they create different things for us to vote on. We have what's called briefings. And so we have meetings that are set up where we kind of go line by line for each agenda item, whether they're in the district or they're in another district, because we all have to vote on them. And so we kind of give input on, you know, different ways that it could be improved or something we want to see out of a vote, out of an item that we are voting on. So, for example, we just recently voted on senior transportation. So this is important to know in, like, how governments function and how the different levels. So on the federal level, Seniors First used to transport our seniors to different things that they need, such as groceries, going to go pick up produce, whether they're going to pick up and just get out the house. So Seniors First used to transport our seniors. Well, when there was a federal cut, Seniors First decided to cut the transportation portion of their program. So at the city of Orlando, staff came together and said, you know, as commissioners, it's important that our seniors get out of the home and have means to get to their basic necessities. So staff kind of put a program together quickly with a transportation company. And so as I was reviewing, one of the things I noticed is that it doesn't go to our senior center. And so, like, that's part of what a council, what we do as council. So we kind of look at meeting the needs of the community. And then based on what staff thinks is the best, it's our responsibility as the elected body to then say, well, we can improve in this or improve in that. And so that's how city council meetings function. There are public sessions. So what we do So as, you know, staff puts the agendas together, as commissioners, we give our input on areas we want to improve before it actually makes it to the agenda. The agenda gets posted, and then we have actually two meetings that kind of are what's considered a council day, sometimes three. So the typical is an agenda review, and then we have the actual council meeting. So the agenda review is where we, as the commissioners, before we get to actually have our city council meeting, we will say we've reviewed the agenda and either we have these concerns, we're declaring a conflict, or we want to pull something from the consent agenda to the actual new business to vote on. And we've actually had that happen because the majority of items go into consent under one large vote. And then we have different other entities within the city. So we, again, we have the agenda review where we all say, hey, we've met with staff and we're okay. Or we met with staff and I have the following concerns. Or there's an item on the consent we'd like to move to new business. We allow public comments so the community can sign up to give their input based on the agenda that they see and things that they may agree with, may disagree with. And then when individuals give comments on the agenda, it does allow us the opportunity to say, well, do we want to pull a consent agenda item to new business and have further discussion? Or it will allow us to kind of maybe pull items altogether. So no matter where you live, you can give comments. So with the city of Orlando, you can sign up to give comments. Most municipalities, you have to sign up to talk during agenda review. And ultimately, then we have a city council meeting where we vote on items that are on the agenda. We kind of talk through it. But before we get there, we kind of talk through what we've been doing in the district and what's coming up. The third sometimes meeting session we have on council days are called workshops. So again, 10 different departments. As you can imagine, we have all kinds of activities that happen. And so sometimes when we're heavily invested in different parts of our community, we hear from those departments or those divisions. For example, you know, we may have a workshop on homelessness and we'll hear from staff on what programs, what's working, what's not working, etc. So I'm going to turn to Dawn, and I'm going to let Dawn talk a little bit more about his time here and kind of how we turn ideas into reality.
Hi. How you doing? Thank you for having me on today. As Commissioner Rose said, my name is Don Wallace. And pretty much from the time I've been here, the process of how we kind of get ideas to reality is kind of get boots on the ground feedback from the different residents and constituents in the district. Not only that, but also employees as well. Case in point, we've had a couple different firefighters. They come up to us and they've said different things that we've needed or that they've needed amongst them in their firehouses and such and stuff like that. Whether it come from on truck needs or the things they need at their stations, pretty much. We've worked with them in order to make sure that's happened. A couple other things that we've done also too in time we've been here is also set up with kids to go to WWE for wrestling. Do behind the scenes tour of the kids, go to different events such as EDC, Vans Warped Tour. And we also try to do as much things as we possibly can with the community as well.
Okay. So, you know, you brought up firefighters and I must go right there about like a idea into a true policy. So I've been very intentional. So even though I work for the city of Orlando, there are parts of divisions and departments that maybe I thought function one way and maybe really doesn't, or maybe it does. And probably I just didn't know. So when I first got elected, I remember doing fire station tours. And for me, I don't think people realize the importance as an elected to sit down with the people who make your city go. You know, sometimes we have some really good community members who may like drop food off to a fire station. But like spending time with the guy who comes or the girl who comes every week faithfully to pick up your trash. Do you know their name? The person who gets up at the literally the crack of dawn, sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning, to get to work to make sure that your garbage is picked up, your recycling is picked up. The man or the woman who gets up to make sure that your kids safely cross the street because they're the crossing guards here in the city. So I spend time with all of our, you know, as much as I can, spend time with the employees. And one, you know, what may seem simple, I remember sitting in a firehouse and was kind of getting, like, I actually got to get on the truck and answer a 911 call with the fire department. And hearing how not having certain trainings can literally save a life, or a life can be lost because they need a person who has certain skills who are missing. So what took away, and, you know, gracefully we turned it into a policy, we were able to put budgeting aside and funding aside. I learned that the city of Orlando was not paying for paramedics. So there are firefighters, and like, it's kind of firefighter is the basic level, and then the paramedic is kind of the next level up because you can help it in different ways during a call. And I learned that not only were individuals having to pay for it by themselves, but they had to like work it in with their schedule. And when you think about something as simple as a $10,000 course that can save lives every single day, I'm like, well, why aren't we saving more lives with this paramedic school? So we started having conversations, and fortunately, the city of Orlando was able to place in their budget the opportunity to send 8 to 10 people to paramedic school. And then, you know, obviously there's a like any paying for anything else, there's a retention period and you have to stay for a certain amount of time. But it was a simple, like, having those like on the ground level conversations on how we can improve the quality of life for the residents. And so, you know, thinking back to how that process went, you know, literally sitting in a fire station talking through like what can make your job better. First responder jobs are not as easy as people think. You know, some people think a firefighter, police officer just gets up and they just go. No, like they see some very traumatic situations. Not having the proper, not having certain trainings where you walk into a scene where there's multiple people who are experiencing something, being able to be, have a special skill or special training is important. So that's a, you know, like you talk about fire and talk about firefighters. That's the thing that I can proudly say, you know, being able to listen to those who serve our community in ways we can improve the quality of life for 911 calls. So, that's a, you know, firefighter, so a special place near and dear to me. A question that came in for me, and I'm going to let you answer because you spend a lot of time, you know, where I spend, where there's gaps or we'll go at the same time. What do you think is the biggest misconception about local government?
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, boy. The biggest misconception about local government is that we can control everything. I say that from people think we have control over Medicaid, Medicare, rental assistance, rent prices. The littlest of things like you can name, people swear that we have all the control over, and we don't.
Okay, so, you know, you touch on one that I think comes up more than not from emails and phone calls, and that's affordable housing and rental prices. And this is going to be a learning moment for everyone listening in. Rental prices are not dictated by local government. The state has an organization that they have deemed is called the Florida Finance Corporation. They set the rental prices. So when I see the comments all the time when we're talking about like new affordable housing projects, and they're like, well, affordable to who? And I have to say, like, and it goes back to my time sitting right here in the studio with TJ Chapman on the Black Couch Chronicles. And he asked the question, how do you not respond to social media? And like when some people ask the questions, and I'm like, educate, right? The only thing I could do is really educate you about what's happening and what's going on. So affordable rates are not set by us on the local level. The state sets those levels. And I always encourage people, your voting power is important on all levels of government. So what we do at the city when it comes to affordable housing is, based on the rates that are set by the state, we will subsidize with the developers, and we will say, okay, if you can give us these amount of units at this rate set by the state, we will incentivize in this aspect, and we will give, you know, different types of credits and different tax credits, et cetera. And so, like, I think that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions in the on the local level is affordable housing and the rates. But I'll go a step further. It's like, it's important to vote, because a couple years ago in Orange County, there was a policy set about rentals and rates and caps and how much can you go and how, you know, et cetera. But that's determined on the state level. The state determines, you know, this is a free enterprise in the state of Florida and people could charge, and here's what is deemed affordable. But what I would say I very intentional on is, how do you create a better quality of life, right? So if something we are developing or building is not affordable, let me help you to get there. Let me offer you financial literacy classes. Let me offer you training and workshops and job fairs so that you can get a better paying job. I can help you down that path. One of the, you know, annual events that I've started is an expungement clinic. Let me help you work through mistakes of your past so that you can get a second chance. It can go away and you can get a new. Or one of the things I've been very intentional on having conversations with developers and different companies is making sure there are second chance opportunities, making sure that someone's past doesn't stop them from being able to work on a new development happening in the community. What are the rates? And actually, a couple of developments that are happening that are city function, I am going to intentionally have staff study, what is our second chance rate? Like, how many convicted felons are we hiring? Because I want to make sure we're intentional on the community really has a stake in what's happening in this community and are part of the progress that's happening. I mean, any other big misconceptions that you could think of that you want to share? I think one for me that I could think of is that I could be every place at every event and every activity. And I try my best. I try my hardest. And shout out to the entire team, because Kayla probably says, I don't know how Commissioner does it. But I'm very intentional on, even if I, so I want to say this for those listening. Sometimes when you see an elected official come and they're at an event for a small time, it's because they're dedicated to other activities and other events. And I think that, like, those are debunking some misconceptions. Oh, she doesn't care about my event because she was only here for 30 minutes, or she was only here for an hour, or she didn't come at the beginning. Well, I probably had couple more activities, but I'm intentional on, like, serving, getting better at, if I can't be somewhere, letting staff go my behalf. And then we kind of sit down and talk, like, what's the takeaway? What'd you learn? How do we get involved and engaged?
I think another misconception would be that you don't care when you go to different events, or that you're there just for photo ops and such. And like you said, it's not that you don't care. The problem is that, like, you and other elected officials, you guys are, you have several other events that you've all, that we've all committed to, and you don't want to be rude, but you want to show that you do care, and you want to show that, hey, I commit, I promise you I'll be at this event, I promise you I'll show up here, I'm here.
Photo ops are, I'd be honest, photo ops are hard for me because sometimes I don't want to take pictures, I just want to enjoy the moment.
And there have been a lot of places where we haven't taken photos that you've attended to.
it's an interesting, like, you know, photo ops is a real thing. Like, that's what some people really feel elected officials are. They just show up for photo ops. I'm actually like the complete opposite. Like, I would say I post pictures because people ask, where are you? Right? Like, I haven't seen her at post any photos. So, like, photos are part of the process. But I think photo ops are the last portions of some of like some engagements, because I'm so enthralled and like, I know I'm only here for a short time. How do I engage? How do I talk to five people while I'm here before I have to leave? How do I, and you know, don't get me started, because I'll throw my whole day away if we're somewhere with the kids and the kids are telling me about their lives and their days. Like, I have canceled events and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to that because I'm here having good conversations. Because for me, like, our kids are our future. And if I don't hear from them, if I don't remind them that someone cares about them, then, you know, who will? But like, I don't care. It's such a like a rock and a hard place. For me, I think it crushes and makes me think about, like, what more can I be doing if I don't care? I genuinely get up every single day, even when it's a day that is my day of rest. I get up every single day and say, how can I improve someone's life? How can I? I did it the other day. I have an elderly, and I know he's in a wheelchair, that lives in the community. And I hadn't heard from him in like a month. I'm like, oh, wait. Hey, how you doing? You good? And so, you know, like, I build genuine bonds with the community. Other than the little paycheck that they give every 2 weeks, I do this from my heart. Like, I genuinely care about the betterment of everyone in this community. How do I make it better for everyone? How do I truly make District 5 in the city of Orlando a place where everyone can live, work, and play?
As someone who rolls over, I've seen her email 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, up until normal hours happen for most people, on various different questions that have been asked. And every day, this isn't like a Monday, 3 days later, I'm catching up on emails and stuff like that. No, it's an everyday thing. But these are questions that she's looking for answers for, that people have asked her, how to make the community better or how to follow different things.
I'm going to say this. If you ask a question and you don't get an answer within 48 hours, follow back up. Because I would say this, like, sometimes, and wholeheartedly, I'm working on it, I will get so entrenched on answering a question, and I done went to like 5 different people and departments and tried to answer your question, and I'm working on getting it solved, that I don't come back and tell you, hey, I found an answer to your question and we're working on it. So like, those listening in, and I don't want anybody to ever say that. Like, I don't respond. I mean, you may not get the answer you're looking for, and that's just reality in life, but very intentional on responding. So if you send a question and you don't hear a response, reach back out, right? Like, don't be afraid and say, like, I feel like I'm bothering, or I feel like I don't want to intrude. Maybe she's too busy. Like, there's no such thing as too busy. Like, myself and my office, we get back to you. I will also share this. I get this often. It's okay if you see me somewhere to speak to me. Like, sometimes people say, well, like, you're so engaged, I don't want to interrupt. It's okay to say hi. I'm a human being too.
I've had people ask me how much to take a photo with the commissioner. I was just like, what do you mean? It's free. What? And it just, I've seen people just enamored and just in awe when I say, like, what do you mean it's free? Like, I can go talk to her. Yes, you can talk to her. She's not going to bite you. You have to make an appointment. Like, what do you need? Like, she's here to serve everybody. She's not the type to, or you're not the type to book an appointment with me and talk to me. Meet you in my office. I'm available this time, this is that time. Of course, depending on what the topic is, then yes. But somebody comes up on the street right now, walks up to you and say, hey, I have a question about this. Okay. What's your concern? What's the question? And you'll answer it the best of your ability. That much I can't say.
I do highly encourage everyone to always email my office. And the only reason is because it's track keeping. So I've got 7 social media platforms. And so maybe I have more. Hold on, what you're counting. I've got the district Instagram. I have my Instagram. I have my personal Facebook page, my district page, my campaign page. I have LinkedIn. I have X, because it's not Twitter anymore. And I think that's it. So 7. Threads. Oh, I do have Threads. So 8. So, I mean, it's a lot. There are. And so I'm very intentional. That's what I tell people. Like, emailing sometimes is truly the fastest way, because it's like, here's a record. I got to answer. I don't forget about you. Sometimes I do say, let's set up a meeting, because it's a little easier for me to set up a meeting. So I can kind of like hear more in depth, because I want to give everyone individualized attention and figure out, like, how do I help you help yourself? How do I, you know, truly get to your needs? I think I'm going to answer, and Dawn, you may, because we got, how does community input factor into decisions that we make that's made in the office? Go ahead. You can start. You can start off, and I'll kind of take it over from there.
Okay. So can I give like examples?
Yeah, you can give an example. Okay.
So a community concern, and this is what we kind of lean on and such with the neighborhood association meetings and stuff like that. A recent concern that was brought to my attention was that there was a debris and dumping issue in the lake past the Mercy Drive corridor. When somebody reached out to us about it, they asked, you know, hey, you know, how do we get this lake clean? You know, we saw the other lakes clean in the area. How do we get this lake clean? We took the time and we drove by the area to take pictures of it and stuff like that, submit photos to the correct department, and therefore they responded back what time and day they were going out there to clean it.
That's a good example. I'm gonna say this from my perspective. Everything the community has to say makes an impact, and we factor in all decisions that are made especially from a policy level. In, you know, while some may not realize or know, when I first got elected in 2024, we had a limit on how many chickens you could have in your backyard. Literally, like, it was backyard chickens. And I'm like, why do we have a limit on? And, you know, I learned the history. There was community concerns and input that said there were some policies that had changed and it could potentially impact, and we could have thousands of chickens making a lot of noise in our community. So they had put a limit temporarily to kind of figure out how it would function. I got elected and I'm like, man, if you don't let these people put chickens in their backyard. So, like, I say this from where I sit, every single input that's given from the community factors into the decisions that we make. And so continue to send your questions, your concerns, your ideas, district5@orlando.gov. And I will continue to make this the best community for all of us to live, work, and play. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you, Dawn, for making sure that we move the district forward, having the residents and the businesses back, but also showing up every day here in District 5. Thank you all. You heard it straight from the Rose Podcast.